Boeing is set to relocate part of the Dreamliner production line, but with no loss of employment. The EAA and FAA reach agreement on airworthiness directives, and SpaceX announces plans for a rendezvous with the International Space Station. These stories and more on Short Final for today's edition of Aero News. Hello, I'm Glenn Moyer, and this is Aero News for Monday, March 19th, 2012. Production of Boeing's 787-8 Dreamliner is ramping up in Seattle, and with that comes news that fabrication of the aircraft's horizontal stabilizers will be moved to Boeing's Salt Lake City facility and to Italy by the end of the year. This relocation means the adding of 100 jobs for Boeing in Utah and no loss of employment in Seattle. While the fabrication of the 787-8 stabilizers gets relocated, development of the stabilizer for the larger 787-9 will protect the jobs of workers in Seattle. Delivery of the first Utah stabilizer should be early next year, while delivery dates from Italy are still to be determined. Owners of experimental category aircraft received some long-awaited good news from the FAA last week. Updated Advisory Circular AC-39-7D formally sets FAA policy that airworthiness directives, or ADs, are not applicable to non-type certified aircraft, except where specifically noted. This issue has been one of the EAA's top 10 advocacy issues for some time. The lack of FAA headquarters guidance had resulted in a patchwork of regional policies that varied and at times conflicted with each other. Sean Elliott, the EAA's Vice President of Safety and Advocacy, said, quote, "This is an outcome that is the result of many hours of hard work on EAA's insistence that ADs do not apply to experimental aircraft. It clears up a great deal of confusion by setting a consistent FAA policy," end quote. The FAA maintains the option to include experimentals in an AD when it concerns an immediate safety of flight issue or parts that might be installed on both type-certified and non-type-certified aircraft, parts such as aircraft engines, propellers, and similar products. SpaceX is hoping to boldly go where no commercially launched spacecraft has gone before, to the International Space Station. SpaceX President Gwynne Shotwell used the recent Satellite 2012 conference to announce that it has a thin launch window on April 30th that would get it to a scheduled May 3rd berthing slot at the ISS. The mission, known as COTS-2/3, carries a political payload far more valuable than anything on the spacecraft. A successful mission would help make the case that the company's Dragon spacecraft is a viable option for one day ferrying astronauts, not just cargo, to the station. Moreover, it would help prove that the six-year-old COTS program, which allows NASA to partner with corporations to gain access to low Earth orbit, can actually serve as the backbone for future manned and unmanned spaceflight. There are economic issues attached to the mission as well. SpaceX hopes to continue to prove it is capable of carrying out a possible $3.2 billion in station resupply flights. Members of the House of Representatives may soon find the air around them a bit more turbulent than usual as the Helicopter Association International, HAI, spins up its battle against the Alexander Wyden Amendment. Approved by the Senate as part of the Surface Transportation Bill, the Alexander Wyden Amendment would give the National Park Service unprecedented power to curtail air tour operations. For example, the Park Service Director would have the authority to establish air tour management plans, to issue permits for commercial air tour operations, and to determine how many permits would be granted. HAI is asking its members to call their representatives in an attempt to have the amendment stripped from the bill before it passes the House. Even if successful, HAI may have to mobilize its members again, as the language could be reinserted into the bill in conference committee. Sprint Nextel has officially cut its ties with LightSquared. The company had agreed to deploy and operate the LTE network capable of utilizing the 1.6 GHz spectrum available to LightSquared. But in a news release last Friday, the company said that while it continues to be supportive of LightSquared's business plans, it was terminating the agreement because of LightSquared's unresolved regulatory issues. The statement emphasized that the termination of the agreement would have no impact on Sprint's current customers and that it is not material to Sprint's ongoing business operations. LightSquared called the termination unfortunate, but agreed it was probably best for both parties. Meanwhile, LightSquared has hired some high-powered legal help in its battle with the Federal Communications Commission. The FCC rejected LightSquared's plan for a nationwide 4G wireless data network when it was found that its operations interfered with most existing GPS receivers, posing a major hazard for aviation. Bloomberg News reports the company has hired litigators Theodore Olson and Eugene Scalia from the law firm Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher. LightSquared continues to debate the FCC's decision and says it's confident of being able to prove its case. For more on the LightSquared story, simply log on to www.aeronews.net and search our archives using the keyword LightSquared. When Aero News continues, the check is in the mail for employees of U.S. Airways. And if you're 75 or older, the TSA says you don't have to kick off those blue suede shoes.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
For the second year in a row, U.S. Airways employees will receive profit-sharing checks, recognizing their contribution to the company's bottom line. U.S. Airways reported a $111 million profit for 2011. The payout to eligible employees totals more than $12 million. And thanks to the company's Triple Play operational incentive program, each employee will receive, on average, an additional $350 performance bonus, totaling another $13 million. Two other employee recognition programs paid out still another $1 million in bonuses, making a total of more than $26 million paid out to the airline's employees. Not bad for a company that emerged from bankruptcy in 2005. While those U.S. Airways employees will be eagerly awaiting the arrival of their postman, the Aviation Ministry of India has said no thanks to a check for $500 million from Boeing. The Economic Times of India reports that Boeing offered to pay $500 million as compensation for delays in delivery of its fleet of 27 Dreamliners ordered in 2005 and to be delivered in 2011. The Indian Civil Aviation Ministry said the offer was not enough, and a government official said it will, quote, try to get as much as possible, end quote, to cover losses incurred by the delays. The first of India's Dreamliners is now set for delivery in May. The last Flying Vulcan hopes to take to the skies next month to mark the 30th anniversary of the Falklands War. The V-Force aircraft and its counterpart, the Victor, were instrumental in this 1982 conflict between Great Britain and Argentina. Supporters of this last flying example have raised over $157,000 in February, but must raise similar amounts in March, April, and June for continued service, test flights, and crew training, if the aircraft is to meet its many planned displays in 2012. The year not only marks the 30th anniversary of the Falklands conflict, but it is Queen Elizabeth's Diamond Jubilee, celebrating 60 years on the throne. Named the Spirit of Great Britain, the aircraft will carry with it throughout the flying season a book of good wishes, in which fans and supporters will be able to record messages of support to the Queen. At the end of the year, the leather-bound volume will be presented at Buckingham Palace, with a duplicate to be placed on permanent display at the Vulcan's Visitor Center in Doncaster. 2012 is also the Diamond Jubilee of the Vulcan and Victor, both groundbreaking aircraft whose futuristic prototypes first took to the skies in 1952. It's almost as if what was once old is new again, as the FAA has awarded an STC PMA to Approach Aviation for its Smart Space Extended Baggage Compartment for pre-1979 Beechcraft Bonanza 36s and A36 aircraft. The compartment installs behind the rearmost seats, adding approximately 8 cubic feet of storage space, while retaining the existing hatch shelf area for easy in-flight access to smaller objects. Installation typically takes only 1 or 2 days, and when completed, gives the aircraft the same 70-pound structural capacity as a post-1979 A36. The NTSB says poor weather and a critical fuel situation were both factors in the crash of a Kefir F-21 that claimed the life of U.S. Navy Captain Carol Lex Lafon, Neptunus Lex to those of us that followed his well-respected blog. In its preliminary report, the NTSB recounts how Captain LaVon made two attempted radar approaches at landing at the Naval Air Station Fallon in Fallon, Nevada, before diverting to Reno. When weather minimums prevented landing in Reno, LaVon returned to Fallon and stated he was in a fuel-critical situation. LaVon descended to land, but struck the ground in an open area of the northwest corner of the airport property and impacted a concrete building. Weather at the time was reported as snowing, with northerly winds of 23 knots, gusting to 34, and visibility between 1 and 1.5 miles. A second full day of searching on Sunday has failed to turn up any sign of missing balloonist Ed Restiano. The 63-year-old pilot from Cornelius, North Carolina, was flying skydivers near Fitzgerald, Georgia, as part of an annual wild chicken festival. Restiano and six skydivers were caught by a sudden thunderstorm. The six skydivers jumped and landed safely, but Ristiano's balloon was collapsed by the storm and disappeared. The area of southern Georgia is heavily wooded, and that has complicated search efforts. Several veteran balloonists have now joined the search. Tom Jones, Joe Cocker, and Randy Newman have all covered the song You Can Leave Your Hat On. It begins with the lyrics, "Baby, take off your shoes," presumably a favorite of the TSA, but maybe not for long. In a move that TSA officials say will allow officers to better focus their efforts on passengers who may be more likely to pose a risk, the agency is testing a procedure that will allow passengers, 75 and older, to keep their shoes on. Likewise, they will no longer have to remove light outerwear and will be permitted a second scanning to clear any anomalies rather than be subjected to a pat-down. Don't get too excited. The program is only a test, being conducted in Chicago, Denver, Orlando, and Portland. The TSA says it's all part of an ongoing effort to move toward a more intelligence-driven security system. And isn't it about time? That's it for this edition of Aero News for Monday, March 19th, 2012. Thanks so much for listening. And remember, you can subscribe to these AeroCasts at iTunes or at www.aeronews.net. I'm Glenn Moyer. For now, you're cleared for departure.